Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I'm Mercy. Girl, you're looking sexy. Moving all across the floor.
That's pretty good. Yeah, this is a Ween Wednesday, right?
I'm Mercy. Yeah.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Game 7 of the World Series tonight, Doug. You went to bed last night, and I remember before we said goodnight.
I wasn't in your house.
The Dodgers were minus 120.
Okay.
And if you wake up this morning and check your wagering shite, you will see the Dodgers are now minus 160. People are feeling momentum. But I saw this stat. This really surprised me. There have been 38 Game 7s in World Series history. What do you think the home team's record is in Game 7s?
How many have there been?
38.
7s. Home team.
20 and 18.
I'm going to say 22.
I'll say it's about 500.
Doug is right. 19 and 19.
That was close.
There have been 38 Game 7s in World Series history. What do you think the record is of the team who won Game 6? In Game 7, that is. Because the record of the team who won Game 6 would be 38-0. But what the result was in Game 7, what the team who won Game 6, what their record is in Game 7.
In Game 7.
28-10.
Mm.
I'll say 25-13.
Mm. Plowhawk?
I'm with Doug. I like the 25 and 13 mark.
Brother.
19 and 19.
19 and 19, is that right?
That surprises me. Now, if we think of the recent Game 7s, the Cardinals, of course, won Game 6 and 11. Who won Game 6 in 2014 between the Royals and Giants? I know we can look that up, but we just don't have the time.
Yeah, it was one of those clubs. I know one club came out ready to play, and the other, I didn't like their effort.
Nice. I want to say I think the Royals won it, but maybe I'm wrong.
What are the records of teams in Game 7 where Jock Peterson had a big homer in Game 6? That's what the real
Royals was. Dominated in Game 6, 10-0.
Yeah, it seems like that has happened in a few of those. I know in 2001, they came back, the Diamondbacks, after losing three heartbreakers in the Bronx. They just beat the hell out of the Yankees to force that Game 7.
Those Game 6s, you fall behind, you say, all right, we're not going to win.
Yeah, and I do wonder
here.
About that. I think that happened in Game 6 with the Cardinals and Brewers, I think. I could be wrong on that the Cardinals beat the hell out of the Brewers in Game 6. The Cardinals got their asses beaten in Game 1 against the Brewers in 82. But in 2016, if you will recall, the Cubs were down 3-1, and they forced the Game 7, and then, of course, won it. But logic, to me anyway, it would seem, I would wonder what the home team who won Game 6 their record would be, because that's where you feel like the momentum is just really snowballing or cream pie.
For the Cardinals against the Rangers and the Royals against the Cardinals.
Right, and in 2001, Diamondbacks, 85, you made reference to the Royals, 87, worked for the Twins. Yeah. 96, it was an NLCS, but Braves, Cardinals, in those last three games were, God, what, like one run? Cardinals lost Game 5 like by one run, and they lost Game 7. Donovan Osborne was like a pitcher's duel, and they lost.
Went it 15-0?
But like on one side.
Oh, yeah. It was 15-0.
2002, the Spezer hit a home run for the Angels, forcing a Game 7, and the Angels wound up winning the next night. So I would think on that stat, if that's a stat to try and find a trend on, if it's the home team who wins the Game 6 to force Game 7, I would think there's momentum there. And I do, you just have to wonder, I think, I'll tell you what, and it's not necessarily unique, but it certainly struck me as very obvious in Game 3 start. Yu Darvish was off from the beginning. I mean, as far as his location, his inability to throw a slider, now there's been a lot of focus on the baseballs and whether or not the ball was different and he couldn't grip it properly, and that's why. And that's a huge part of his pitching repertoire. But you'll be able to tell right out of the gate, and either way, even if he isn't, Kershaw's at least available. How effective he'll be is to be determined. But That, I think, is a factor at this point. People are like, yeah, the Dodgers are going to win this thing. I was thinking yesterday, I went to look to see what the Dodgers were to win the World Series before Game 6, and they were plus 205, plus 210. In other words, essentially 2-1. And I felt like that had some value. The issue, of course, is you're going, wow, they're up against Justin Verlander. And here's a guy.
Here's a guy.
Would you call him a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer? He's a Hall of Famer?
He's probably on the cusp. So. He's probably on the cusp.
How many wins does he have?
I don't know. Do you have the number?
His accolades. Well, yeah, you have to look at wins. I mean, but you look at his accolades and MVP, Cy Young, ALCS, and World Series MVP.
Well, he's thrown a lot of postseason games with the Tigers teams. And
188 wins, 3.46 ERA, which is very good since he pitched in the AL.
He was a rookie in 06, right, when he faced the Cardinals.
Yep.
And he's 34.
He was defeated by Anthony Reyes and Weaves.
Get over 200 wins. Used to be you had to have 300, but those days are long gone.
Oh, he was a machine up until last night where he ran into a little trouble. He was still dominating.
Yeah.
He was, but you couldn't touch him.
There was defining. I tell you what, man, he's kind of a random guy. He plays damn near every position. That Chris Taylor.
That was the at-bat that changed it. He avoided striking out, unlike Reddick earlier in the game. Yep. He was in a situation where he just needed to put the bat on the ball somehow, and he didn't hit it very hard. But it blooped in down the right field line.
He was just a guy. The season he put together has been terrific. He was just a guy.
So tonight you do have the game in Los Angeles, and I got to tell you something. I got a little bit of a problem with that because I think the location of World Series Game 7 should be in the American League city, and that's because Robinson Cano hit a home run off of Wade Davis in the 10th inning in Miami in the middle of July in an exhibition game. I think that should be what determines home field advantage, not the fact that the Dodgers won 104 games, which are three more than the Astros won over the course of the season.
That has nothing to do with it.
Maybe they'll go back to that.
That part of the team's records. What are you talking about?
I'd like to see, because it doesn't happen very often anymore, but the Game 7 winners, which pitcher is going for the third time? Because, not that long ago, you would have pitchers going 3 days rest, and if it went seven, would pitch, 1-4-7. They'd bring them back for game seven. Doesn't seem to happen now. But
I don't think did that happen. Like when you talk about what years are you going back to say that? Because that means they're pitching on short rest for game four.
Yeah, I think it wasn't maybe 6-7 years ago. You would we got our ace for three games if it goes seven. I don't think it was that long ago that.
I mean, it happened in 2011 because of the rain out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did Gibson pitch three starts?
Yeah, he did decades ago, but they also didn't have to go through another round of playoffs. Going way back.
Yeah.
They just finished the regular season. They hadn't just, pitched through the playoffs as well as the World Series.
Yeah, you had an NL, AL winners of their, you only had one division back in the 60s. So Cardinals won the division. They're playing in the World Series.
Well, it wasn't a division. It was just a league.
Well, league, yeah. But you didn't have different divisions. You
had... So it was probably a little easier to pitch three times in a week and a half than it would have been if you had gone through a couple of rounds of playoffs.
Jeff Passan writes, Doug, you ever get a chance to catch up with him?
Not so much.
He didn't come on the show anymore.
No.
Used to.
The 2,468th and final game of the Major League Baseball season will be played here Wednesday at 8:20 p.m. Eastern Time, Jack.
He put Jack in there?
I'm able to ad-lib on the fly. I'm that talented. It will cap a 2017 that witnessed more home runs than ever hit in a calendar year. I like any time an opening paragraph includes were.
Or W-H-I-R-R?
That's right.
That's one R?
No, it's a one R.
Seems like it should have two, three R's.
No, that's for like whirring.
Whirring minicamp.
Right. Weathered the horror of the black helicopters that soundtracked a juiced ball narrative.
Black helicopter?
Conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Right. A lot of symbolism. It's like watching The Graduate after smoking a bowl. Offered a postseason packed with powerhouse teams and gifted a World Series that deserves nothing less than the winner-takes-all championship or bust Game 7 will get. Wait. Step back for a second.
No, I'm not going to step back.
If baseball shares any lesson on a daily basis, it's that the sport cares not for who deserves what. Clayton Kershaw deserves peace from the incessant screeching about his playoff foibles.
Don't say foibles.
But screeching.
I'm better with screeching than with foibles.
Dustin Diamond? Baseball gave him no such thing. Justin Verlander deserves a coup de grace moment. for his Hall of Fame career, a domineering, well, I guess he is a Hall of Famer. We just got that done. Okay. Hall of Fame career, a domineering, dominating World Series clinching victory. Baseball chuckled. Deserve doesn't matter. 50 men will take the field at Dodger Stadium in uniform Wednesday. They will be in uniform. That was another ad lib.
Okay.
How about Carlos Beltran deserving a World Series ring in May 9th?
No freedom.
You don't deserve it unless you win it.
25.
Because you've been around for a while doesn't mean you deserve anything.
25.
You've been around a while. I think you deserve one of those donuts out there.
I had one.
Huh? Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
What'd you have?
Glazed.
Okay, that's not in the column.
Oh, sorry.
25 Los Angeles Dodgers, 25 Houston Astros. The Dodgers will try to win a World Series for the first time in 29 years. The Astros will try to win a World Series for the first time in their 55-year history. Hundreds of pitches will be thrown.
Okay.
I'm not done.
Well, we know what happens in the game generally.
No, I'm telling you, this is
somehow different. This year's Game 7 is different with 25
generally,
on the side.
Generally speaking, there's going to be a lot of pitches thrown in a
pitches,
game.
Yeah.
Dozens of swings taken, countless feints and parries weighed by the managers.
What? Feints, curds, and ways? Countless what's happening by the managers?
Countless feints and parries weighed by the managers. And in the end, after however many outs it takes.
It's 27.
Extra innings.
Probably not.
Okay. Baseball will award its 113th championship to the team that deserves it for one reason only. Not because either deserved it more than the other, but because it played better.
No kidding. Nobody deserves anything. You go out and you play the game, and whoever wins, wins. You don't deserve things because of what you've done in the past.
I felt like the Cardinals deserved to be in the playoffs.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it again.
I mean, when you watch these two teams play, you go, Cardinals could beat them.
Well, who then gets to decide who deserves what?
I feel I should.
We have some committee that's going to say, well, Kershaw's going to pick a good game because he deserves it.
I mean, there could be a committee, but I would be the chairman, and I would make the final decision.
You would.
Yeah. That'd be fair. Are we okay with that?
I think that's reasonable.
Text passing.
Doug, you want to text him?
I don't have his number.
Instead of normalcy. Oh, I'm sorry. There was another paragraph.
Okay, go ahead. You finish up if you'd like.
Game 6, then, served as a mere appetizer. 3-1 Dodgers victory that denied Verlander his moment 2 days after the Astros had denied Kershaw his in a raucous 13-12 affair.
It was raucous.
Game 4 presented a staggering meltdown of a bullpen following Game 3's staggering meltdown of a starting pitcher. Game 2 was, like Game 5, a Pollock painting.
A what kind of a polyp painting? Reminds me, I got to get a colonoscopy next week.
Clip that off.
I do.
That is Sidney Pollock.
I'm going to have to miss it.
Jackson Pollock.
I'm sorry.
Jackson Pollock. Peter Northall, Jackson Pollock.
It's a polyp.
Yeah, he will. Geyser.
Game 2 is like Game 5, a Pollock painting. The incongruity, a stand-in. You have to have a thesaurus at the ready for this.
They can clip the polyps right off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they see it with the camera, and if it's like the start of
cancer. You want to go and cover it like a station event?
That'd
well, probably
fun.
Not.
Yeah, but Plowsy, can you do that?
Maybe we could do it with
the
hot shots and
Arnold. I'll get inside story, you know what I mean?
If there should be a polyp, it gets clipped off just immediately, Jackie Papers.
Mm. Then how does your hole feel?
I don't know. I've never had that happen before,
rewarding.
But I know that's what they do. That's why you have to have the colonoscopy.
Game 2 was like Game 5, a Pollock painting. The incongruity is stand-in for genius or madness or something in between or both. In Game 1, 8 days, or an eternity ago, finished in 2 hours and 28 minutes, a tidy bit of foreshadowing that this was not going to be a typical series.
Oh, my God.
That foreshadowing
series,
thing.
Jesus.
We painting it out a little bit more than it is?
I mean, I agree, it's more than a game, but this is like a life or death article here.
Well, it's just a game. It's just entertainment for us.
Instead of normalcy, or whatever passes for it in October, the 2017 World Series has bestowed a feeling of constant nausea, the good kind, if there's such a thing. One that turns stomachs sour because the body is ill-equipped to handle a baseball game's unique ability to rollick back and forth. Leads came in a flash and vanished in an instant, a record flurry of home runs treating them like a storm does a satellite dish.
What? Did you ad-lib that last part?
No, I'm reading. I'm in the prompter.
This is embarrassing.
It is.
Treating them like a storm treats a satellite dish. So you're going to lose your reception.
I just, my problem is that games, what game was it that was a Pollock painting? Game 2?
Pollock painting.
Game 2 and 5, Pollocks.
Yeah.
Somebody had a pain that's in the ass.
I mean, that's a mistake.
Painting.
It's more of a Claude Monet, don't you? I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Giorgio O'Keefe, Doug?
I was totally on board, but that's a Monet. That's not a Pollock.
He had some nice gardens at Giverny.
Games were won until they were lost. Lost until they were won. If there has been a defining characteristic of the first six games of the 2017 World Series, it's a raw unpredictability, the kind that carves a path to a seventh game.
The kind that gives you the good kind of nausea?
If there is such a thing?
That's right.
Is
anyone nauseous over this? Like if...
I hate this.
What, the writing?
Yeah.
See, to me, here's the thing. Honestly, I'm a baseball fan. I wish the Cardinals were in it. I had a rooting interest from the Yankees, so they're out. So I got no rooting interest yet. The games have been so entertaining that I don't care. If you have no rooting interest, you get pulled in. That's the beautiful thing about this World Series. Mm-hmm. It pulls in folks that have no real rooting interest.
I didn't really, but it's a
Monet painting.
I didn't really care in 2014 with the Royals and Giants. I was fascinated similarly to literally right after the Bartman play happened in 2003 Rajai Davis hit the home run off Chapman to tie that game. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to happen to this franchise again, thinking the Cubs were going to lose at that moment. But I wasn't pulling for anybody in that one either. And I'm really not pulling for anybody here. I'm not going to bet on it because then I'll be pulling for somebody. I just want to see a great game. You know, and I know that sounds weird. I remember asking my dad, who are you cheering for when I was a kid? And he would say, you, Timmy, I'm going to get you jobs. But when it was a game.
Oh, that's sweet.
It worked out too.
I love it.
He said, I just want to watch a good game. And that's how I feel. Passon finishes it off here, Doug.
I thought we were done.
No, that seemed like
a good ending point.
No, but I think this is.
All right, is he getting paid by the word? Because he's sort of padding the bill here.
They play Game 7 because its mysticism matches its glory.
No, they don't. They play Game 7 because they agreed that it would be a 7-game series.
Not true. All right. Its mysticism matches its glory.
All right.
Of those 37 games, 14 ended with a 1-run win and 7 apiece with a 2- or 3-run margin. Think about that.
Okay, that's 4 runs right there. That's a wide berth right there.
More than 75% of Game 7s have been a grand slam away from concluding with a different champion.
Well, isn't that like every baseball game that's ever played is a grand slam away from a different outcome? Most of them. What, 90%?
Well, in this case, 75%.
Well, yeah. Well, that's probably low.
They live to be taught.
I don't know what that is at all.
Don't explain that one.
Taught and rewarding?
Taught.
T-A-U-T.
They live to be taught. I don't know.
They live to be taught.
Who are you pointing at?
There's a woman trying desperately to get in here through the gate and using her umbrella to poke.
Are you
going to
interrupt my poetry?
Sorry, I feel bad for the guy.
No, it is.
Although now
is
that I'm seeing her, she is using an umbrella to try and get in.
It cannot get in.
Good for you, because it needs to be spoken.
She's been
there
5 minutes.
Can we turn the cameras on MSNBC out to the patio?
She's been there at least 5 minutes trying to open that gate. Can't make it
Well,
happen.
The nice thing is none of us can be bothered to help her.
The umbrella
no, someone's going
upside
to help.
Who's out there? Who's going?
She's trying to use the curved
Seymour
handle.
Seymour was a good person.
Seymour, the guy producing the show.
Curved handle.
Well, if it's locked, nobody's getting in.
He's going to show her how to do it right here.
No, he's got a card.
This is one of the best reads of my career. It's going to go on my resume reel, and you're ruining it.
Just,
I want that on the record.
It's a poorly designed gate.
Yeah, well, it actually is.
So, listeners, you can just beat security by just reaching over.
Yeah, you can always win with a reach around.
What?
So, anyway. When we left Jeff Passon, he was explaining that Game 7 is taught.
Well, they live to be taught. All right, Doug, I'm in. Okay. They live to be taught. To present baseball in its purest and most concentrated form. And these two teams, the first to finish with 100-plus regular season wins and face off in a Game 7 since the St. Louis Cardinals and Philadelphia A's in 1931, had proven themselves plenty capable of doing so over the series' first six games. And I'm going to need some help on this word.
Okay.
I'm surprised I've been able to not have to tap out yet.
All right, let's see what we can do.
L-A... G N I A P P E.
Langnape.
Lanyap is a little surprise.
Right.
I believe Lanyap is a little surprise.
The Lanyap. The Lanyap of Game 7 is an opportunity to bore deep inside the mind of the managers. Dave Roberts and AJ Hinch, only 45 and 43 years old. Are considered nonetheless two of the best in the game. Are they? I'm aside right now.
I don't believe so.
Why that would be so unusual that there's managers in their 40s. And that happened rather frequently.
All right. But aside. Mm-hmm. Okay. See what I did there?
Yeah, I like that.
Because you know what I've been doing today? I've been connecting point A to point B.
I've noticed that. I've been doing it all, Joe.
Yeah, that was a lanyap to me.
Are considered nonetheless two of the best in the game, not just on their ability to act, is the bridge between their analytical front offices and clubhouses of millionaire millennials, but because each has acquitted himself as at least a better-than-average strategist.
You just said they were the best in the game.
Sports writers get to decide who's a good strategist and who isn't.
That's right.
They get to determine that, not the guys who play the game and study it every day.
Boy, you are mad at this guy.
The sports writers get to determine who is and who isn't a good strategist.
Already in the afterglow of a game during which the Dodgers pieced together a pair of home runs against Verlander, following five innings of offensive ineptitude, the focus had left the previous 3 hours and 22 minutes in the dustbin. Is he, like, mocking my Sattersman thing there?
Could be.
Game 6 was done. Game 7 was imminent. And in front of reporters, the 90-year-old Tommy Lasorda, the last Dodgers manager to win a championship, told Roberts, quote, "You haven't won S till you win tomorrow," end quote. Do you see that, by the way? That did happen. There's audio of it.
I didn't see it, no.
For the fourth time this decade, a baseball team will win, expletive, via a seventh game. There will be heroes. There will be goats. There will be memories imprinted deep into the recesses of minds. There will be moments that beg to be forgotten, only to find themselves replayed on the loop of time. There will be people who say Houston deserves to win a championship because never has it experienced...
Forget the deserve stuff.
Because never has it experienced a parade for the Astros, and because in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, it may help the healing in the smallest of ways. There will be people who say Los Angeles deserves a championship because nearly three decades in an state of disillusionment is plenty, because getting to celebrate one at home is the ultimate in sports fandom. Deserve doesn't matter. All that does is the 25 men in Dodgers uniforms and 25 men in Astros uniforms, the managers trying to process what's going on in front of them in real time and how the decisions of all dictate where the ball bounces. That is Game 7 at its core, baseball at its finest, every bit of excess evaporated, so only the essence survives. Two teams playing one game and seeing who does it better.
Okay, it's a little contradictory.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life from a sports writer.
You ever listen to the Late Night Score?
That is just cheesy. It's a baseball game, for God's sake. You trying to win a Pulitzer?
Doug?
Well, probably is, yeah.
It's like writing like an erotic novel. Like, I like porn, but I don't like hearing every detail. Of, you know, the act. So I find it to be, you know, you don't have to write a 10-page article about
a little flowery.
There are some words. I consider myself the most educated person in the world.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what lanyap was.
No, I had not heard that either.
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to educate you.
I bet he looked it up. What's another word for magical? I guarantee he looked it up.
Who, I looked it up?
No. Passing.
Well, is it magical or is it a surprise?
Or surprise.
Yeah, I know what lanyap meant. Because there was a restaurant in Soulard called Lanyap's.
Is that right?
And they'd give you, as soon as you sat down, a little something. And they go, that's what it's named for, a little surprise, a little treat. It's not there anymore.
Lanyap.
The essence of a fine restaurant.
The reaction of the audience is
to the back page.
Is coming in here in the text inbox. Hey, Jeff Passan, someone needs to be passing you a shot of bleach. That's from Neil Allen, Craig Paquette. Thanks, Tim. You gave me my first erection in 4 years. That's from the Four Finger Guy. Tim, I'm so hot after that tight read. That's from Goat Boy. Doug, the movie, did you see the movie Pollock? What's your Mount Rushy of Ed Harris flicks? That's from Aunt Peg.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
I'm going to go Truman Show.
Apollo 13.
How about A Beautiful Mind? He was great.
Was he in
that?
I think of Russell Crowe and Jennifer Connelly.
He was the guy that appeared in the recesses of The Beautiful Mind.
Escape from Alcatraz. Very good.
All right, that's enough Ed Harris talk.
Very underrated actor.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, sure is.
Oh, he played a serial killer in something where he was great.
Ted Bundy.
I can't remember what it was. He was in prison, and he was scary as a day is long.
I don't know.
Well, someone text in. I've already disconnected.
I think Shrewsbury Seminary student knows.
Oh, hello, Shrewsy.
What up, boys?
Not much.
Why are you so happy?
outside team and got a surplus.
What does that mean exactly?
He's talking about my fantasy football team, and he's right. We do have a surplus, and we're very hot negotiations right now, Doug, with the surplus.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Panda.
I didn't care for it.
Pretty good. That's my designer.
That was a stupid song. Pretty good. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, and then Connor used the beat on part two in Life of Pablo.
Did he really?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay. Well, this has been a fabulous call, Shrizzy.
I've enjoyed it.
Hey, wait a minute. I got a notice list.
Doug?
You got what? What are you doing?
I got a notice list. I got to put some guys on notice. I got a list. Can I read it off? You guys got to put people on notice.
Okay, but quickly.
All right, number five. Jeff Passan.
Just kept on. Right.
Number four. Iggy.
Iggy's on notice.
What did he do?
Well, we haven't been able to find that lady he's taking to that concert, so Iggy's on notice.
I talked to her last night. She's fine.
Ooh.
Yeah, whatever, Iggy. Number three.
Hurry up!
Barnhart Brawler.
Barnhart Brawler's on the list. Why is he on the list?
Because he's a pantsuit liberal.
Mm. No. He is that. No.
Number two.
You're just making this up as you go, aren't you?
Shot at the wrestling recap.
Number two, Paul Reiser.
Mm.
Why?
He's in Stranger Things 2.
Because he's in Stranger Things 2, and I'm not really trusting him so far from the episodes I'm through.
Millie Bobby Brown. Millie Bobby Brown.
He's a star.
And number one.
Bobby Bestel. Drink bleach, Bestel.
No.
Still on there.
No. You know, Bestel reached out to me.
He approached you?
He emailed me. And he gave me some background on some things I was not aware of regarding his post on the fan pin. And I thought he was going to actually address it, but then he went dark. But it's awfully interesting. Hashtag developing. Mm. I was going to forward it to you because I know you would really find it interesting. The cat, I'm pointing at you.
Right.
So, Doug, that's something that you'll see.
What's going on?
You'll see. Maybe you'll see. I don't know if you're going to see on the fan page, but it was. I was like, oh, wow. Bob.
Yeah, boys. What team has the most second place finishes in the World Series?
I don't think I'll ever be on Camo X, but I feel like it right now.
Dodgers used to get beat by the Yankees every year.
Is that what it was?
That's what I'm guessing.
Cardinals?
What's the answer?
Yankees.
It's the Yankees.
Yankees.
All right.
Pretty tricky.
Boy, it was a tricky. You got it, Bob.
Put that off.
It got great.
Thank you, Bob.
You got it. I like a good quiz.
Yeah, that's nice. We'll never be on 50,000 Red Hot Watts, but it's just kind of a little moment. I'm like, oh, I feel like Tom Ackerman. Whoa. You can send your emails in, Hot Shots email of the day. I see Matt Who Bowls at Hanks. Seamonster texted me about...
I've Cuckies.
Cuckies is an audio submission.
Yes.
Cuckies is an audio submission.
Has that been done?
Is it legal?
It's legal. I will have to say, we'll have to stop the email of the day music because I can't play two things at once. So we'll play that, obviously, when it's played, and then we'll pot the music back up. Just letting everybody know.
Can you kind of beatbox it so there's a musical bed?
I probably could, but I won't. Right. But it'll be fair enough. This email, and then the rest will have it.
You know what? I'm telling you, it's one of these things. It's kind of like, Doug, I was so tempted to have one of them donuts when it was out there, and I don't have many donuts.
Are you happy
that you did? Or now you're mad at yourself?
Well, it was awfully good.
I know. You can't live your life under regret. You ate a donut.
Oh, the maple bacon donut. How's the stack doing? Fire.
It's strong to quite strong.
Seems like a strong stack.
The cookies look good.
But so I was tempted to do
it. The Valley brought us over some nice treats.
Thank you, Missouri Valley. Yeah. Thank you, Missouri Valley.
Thank you, Valsey.
I said, Anna Marie, I said, oh, I'm having lunch with the people from Lena's Pizza today. And she goes, I really want to try one of them. I said, well, hey, sister. That's what I said. Actually, I said woman.
Really?
Treat her with respect. Yeah.
What, she has to ask you to try a frozen pizza? What kind of hell is this woman's living through?
If the spend is over $5, there's a checks and balance system, sir.
Excuse me, Tim. I know you put all my meals out on a schedule, but I'd like to try this frozen pizza.
That's right.
Stand down, woman.
Right. So you were there. So I said, I got to tell you something. I have a couple in the freezer. I don't know if I have that buffalo chicken. I know the plowhawk.
You got any sausage?
I think I do. I have sausage and pepperoni. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, I think so I might have the
buffalo chicken. You're in the freezer.
Right.
But she didn't know they were in the freezer.
That's right. That's right.
Just to do a deep tease, me and Cucky will be having dinner tonight at my place with Alina's Pizza. And let's just say there'll be video and audio from that experience tonight.
Why?
So, why? Because we want to.
We're taking video of yourself eating pizza.
We haven't seen each other in about a week, so we set up a little mandate.
They're
probably,
friends.
You know, just
they're friends.
Hanging out, palling around, you know.
And shoot video of it. Doug,
watching the World Series?
You hadn't seen Scott in like 6 days, and you guys took video of when you got frozen pizza and posted it.
No,
it was great. It was fun video.
Oh, I didn't.
Fun conversation. Well, anyway, I might be enjoying Lena's pizza as well tonight.
It's in your freezer.
It's in my freezer.
So your wife should know that you guys have some.
That's She's right, asking that's right. for permission to eat it.
That's right. That's
what
right.
is, what do you have, like a there. Combination lock on your freezer?
That's right.
Tim, can I have the combination? I'd like to prepare frozen pizza.
Not now, woman. Playing on Bovada. Mm. So anyway, this Lena's, I told her, listen, I got to tell you something. I know nobody's around outside of the cat, but this Lena's pizza is legit. It really is. And so I'm thinking about maybe enjoying game seven with some Lena's pizza tonight. And that'd be my recommendation to the audience. And I think you'll be really happy with it. Plowhawk, I think you're doing the right thing.
What about Doug? He's taking his son to Kirkwood Brew House.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing. I think you're doing the right thing, too.
Maybe when we go home, then we'll have a Lena's pizza.
Yeah, to wash it down.
You ever go out to have dinner and then come home and start eating again? I'm sure it happens in a lot of
Here's
places.
What I'm yeah. doing. Here's what I'm stadium? Doing. Tell me I'm doing wrong, right?
What's that?
I have Alina's pizza. I'm going to Kirkwood Brew House and getting some of that brisket chili. And then I'm going to go float with my big meal and watch the World Series game.
That's
at
a good
float
idea.
Place.
Yeah. Presence Float Center.
It's linaspizzastl.com. If you haven't tried it, it's the only one with 100% Provel cheese in your grocer. Grocer's Freezer, Schnucks, Deerberg, Shop and Safe Straws, all these and other fine groceries, linaspizzastl.com. A friend of mine, Seth Goldkamp, as a matter of fact, was telling me yesterday he was at LeGrand's, home of some delicious sandwiches. They have Lena's there. So there you go. Yeah, Lena's Pizza, that's the play. That's what I'm telling you. Doug, you want to tell anybody about Design Air?
Well, yeah, you brought up Seth Goldkamp's name. He's the one I credit for the comfort of my home. Mm. Boy, did I suffer. I suffered for many years. Or it would be nice and cool downstairs in the summer. Go upstairs. Ah, it's like a hothouse. It's like a hothouse. And then in the winter, I go downstairs. Man, it's cold. I need a coat in my own house. I go upstairs. Oh, it's nice and toasty up here. I got a problem. I had an issue. So Seth Goldkamp came out with Design Air. He came out to my crib. He did some poking around.
Mm.
He did some nosing around. And he looked at the ductwork. And he looked at the vents. And he looked at the airco and the furnace. And he came up with a solution.
What?
I needed a new furnace blower. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So you blow that air up harder through the ductworks, and then that cold air gets to the second floor. I didn't have that before. I simply didn't have it. Right. That was the fix.
So Seth did the work, or did he send a couple of
good-looking
fellas
over? He sent a couple guys, and their names were Joe and Tyler.
Now, how did you describe them? Because it's here in the copy.
The copy says friendly and professional, which they were. The copy says awfully cute, which they were not. But it is a commercial, so we try to punch up the box.
Sorry about this account.
They weren't especially cute. They weren't. They knew what they were doing when they with this HVAC work.
Wow, Doug, what
if your home isn't as comfortable as you'd like, do yourself a favor. Call Design Air and ask for the Doug Vaughn Furnace, 314-739-1600 or designairservice.com.
And when it comes to heating and cooling, one of the things that many people just, understandably, and I would include myself in this category, they just forget to change filters. The intent is there, you just forget. And my recommendation to you is Filter Easy. And that solves the number one problem with home air filters, which is forgetting to change them. Filter Easy will take care of that for you. May I recommend that you get on board with Filter Easy? Because that's what I have done, and now I can tell you how easy it is. They send the filters to you, and that solves that problem of forgetting to change them. The average homeowner changes their home air filters 1 to 2 times a year. The minimum you should, 4 times a year. And you can do that with Filter Easy because you have the physical reminder to make having clean air in your home easy and delivered to your door. You don't have to worry about the hassle of storing extras. You won't ever forget to change the air filters in your home again. Delivers your exact size home filter to your door when it's time to replace. Save 5 to 15% on home air conditioning costs by keeping your air conditioning and heating systems cleaner. Save on maintenance of your air conditioner with Filter Easy. Get started today at FilterEasy.com. They're offering all TMA listeners their first delivery of standard 1-inch air filters for free with free shipping. Never forget to change your air filter again and visit filtereasy.com/Tim or enter promo code Tim on the homepage. It's Filter easy. Doug, that's filter easy. And now it's time for the Hot Shots email of the day, and that includes a two-parter, Jack.
Okay.
We have Cucky versus Matt, who bowls at Hank's for all the marbles in October.
One-on-one matchup.
And we have the rest of y'all.
The field.
And we have non-existent gift card
prices.
Right. All right, what should we do first?
The non-existent gift cards?
The email
field.
Of the month?
Yeah, no, yeah, the field. Sure. Right. We're going to save it.
So I'll make sure that I'm only going to go to 9:55 with the field, okay? To make sure that we have 5 full minutes. All right, here we go.
That's plenty.
Hello, La La La. I've heard tell that your little show is the perfect place to finally get my dirty little secrets off my chest, which is a 38 double D, by the way. You see, I've been sneaking around after my lingerie shoots and engaging in hot sapphic play with a couple of my fellow models. Digital, dilly, tongue-punching, you name it.
Okay.
One of them was named Brittany. She wore a bikini. Problem is, once she dropped said garment, it turns out she was a creepy 60-something-year-old man with a nicotine problem. She/he's such a fake. I'm real, though, and I'm hot, and I'm ready to party with other broads, tee-hee. Anywho, I'll have to get back to you. I have a date with a female college cheerleader in a Sibian. Lustfully, lingerie model Laura? And, she, and this so is her dumb. Email address. It
lingerie.
Is. It's a Yahoo account, so it's real.
Model Laura. She's new.
When she released my right ankle, I thought I was being let go. God, there seems like a theme to these. But they had other plans. As one firmly held me by my hair, the other slowly unzipped my shiny red high-heeled boot with her teeth. I knew it was going to get wild. They were giving me the J. Randolph Jr. special. You guys know the one. It's where they sensuously suck your toes one by one. Then the hornier twin took it to a whole new level. She put all five of my tootsies in her mouth. Her slobbery, saliva-permeated mouth. I said, I'll don't like this.
I'll don't like this?
God, that's so hot when they're grammatically disasters. But when the other one started licking her own fingers, my arched back and hips rhythmically rolling like a...
Okay.
Doug, is it gyroscope or Euro?
I say gyroscope.
That was a Nintendo game. You got gyroscope and Duck Hunt.
Euro is a lamb dish. Delicious.
Lambo.
With a pita.
Lambo, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Told a different story. A shackled bikini model Brittany. And there's a picture. Look.
Okay.
Bikini model Brittany.
Hey, boys and stepdads, I hear you got the best tuck pointing north of the Merrimack River. What's that? This mortar isn't wet enough for you, you filthy handyman? Here's what you do. Step one, take that bucket of mortar and abscond into the half bath off the first floor hallway and scoop some boy juice out of the porcelain reservoir to moisten that cement mix. Step two, fill up those crevices real nice-like. Step three, put your stepdad away. Step four, hire Colin to do the tuck pointing. Step five, sexually harass a televangelist on Twitter. Think about B-do-bop Collins 12,000.
Collins 12,000. He's new.
Guys, plops here. As far as going in one of those float pods with foliage, yeah, it's frowned upon, but not forbidden. First Amendment, baby. Are they related? First Amendment and a pod float?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't bring a bonsai, though. I bring this thin, six-foot-tall ficus that reminds me of this volleyball twink I used to freak dance with at mixers back in my college days. I'll float kind of in a fetal position, just drifting around in that salty liquid, spooning the ficus and taking deep, relaxing breaths. Then I pretend I'm a hungry, kinky giraffe. I put the leaves of the ficus in my mouth as I spoon that thing, as I kind of have it in a scissor hold with the roots wrapping around my chode, tickling me bum-bum.
Okay.
What makes the whole thing quite thrilling for me, though, is this. I don't come out when the timer comes off. I just stay in there quietly to the point where the worried staff thinks something bad has happened, and then they have no choice but to break down the door and rescue me. But what do they find? Oh, just a soaking wet, naked, grown man with breasts, smiling with a ficus dangling out of him. Happy All Souls Day, Misty Plops.
Misty Plops.
I was a little unsettling, I'll be honest with
Assistant
you.
Assistant Program Director.
Hello. A poem in honor of the cat weaving his shoulder hair into a quilt to warm our heart and souls.
Mm-hmm.
Doug is like Jackie in that he has no holes, except for that one that I fill with my tongue.
No!
Think about it. That's from the Tinkle Monsty?
Tinkle Monsty. He's new. A lot of new ones. A lot of newcomers to the game today.
And finally, from the field.
Okay.
Morning, fellas. Matt, who bowls at Hank's, is a great American and an equally great emailer. He was locked in an epic battle with another Hall of Fame emailer, and sadly, there can only be one champion. I would not call it a choke job. I repeat, I would not call it a choke job. And I know a little something about choking under pressure, although it's not really my fault. I mean, Doug's pretty heavy, and his love is surprisingly big.
No, who was it?
Hipster of Tower Grove South. I thought that was
Hipster of Tower Grove South got himself suspended for the last email that was read. Got himself suspended a period of 2 days' time. I'm writing it in the leather-bound Hotshots suspension log. You're writing it with a Wright Business Product ink pen. Thank you, Wrightsy, for your products.
Out of the field, what you got?
Well, there wasn't much there.
I'm going to go Plops.
I'll say lingerie model Laura.
I'm going to go with Plops. Plops, congratulations. You're first on the board for November with today's Hot Shots email of the day. But, Doug, guess what? We're just getting started.
Okay.
What should we go with first? Cucky's audio or Matt's?
Let's do the audio.
Cucky's audio.
Never been done
heads
before.
Up. Never been done before. Sudden death for October. Doug, here is the Hot Shots email of the day submission from Cucky. It's audio, Jack.
Okay. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
It's the email of the month. The email of the month competition. It's the email of the month. The email of the month competition. I think you should vote for Matt Ubel. Of thank yous, see what I'm doing. If you vote for Matt, then it's a vote for me, because I told you what to do. So just do it, just do it. It's the email of the month, email of the month competition. It's the email of the month, email of the month. Competition. Doug, this part's for you. I'd like to get you undressed out of that Oxford blue shirt. I wanna get you naked, wanna make you eggs and bacon when you're wakey. Email of the month, everybody. Email of the month. Competition. It's the email of the month.
Everybody.
Matt, the email of the month. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Doug, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful...
And it was warm. He wants to make eggs and bacon.
Well, I don't think that part was necessarily good.
It's pretty good.
But he went to a lot of trouble for that. Plays a pretty mean ukulele.
Better than Ween.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a nice submission.
All right, now it's time for Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Usually when I have to bring my A game, I try to find some things to write about from the previous day's show since I have to PLTD. Well, seeing as you guys spent 2.5 hours yesterday focusing on other people's shows, i.e. Mike Francesa, Barstool Chicks, the Jason Barrett podcast, and whatever the hell that was about George Clooney's Halloween party, I didn't have much to work with, especially since within these clips, we only heard the highlights like Francesa choking on a cough drop, a tweet-by-tweet breakdown of a feud between an 80s pop star and San Antonio radio host over the lack of vegan food in Texas, and then you had your own 15-minute breakdown on the theoretical costs and logistics of flying Dave Hogg out to Portland to try out for an afternoon AM radio show. So here are my top three things that may have happened yesterday or last week. I don't know. They all run together.
All right.
Number one, yesterday when Tim just randomly said, Tyler, he probably doesn't even remember doing it, but it's this subtle little joke, but it made me laugh. Bass. Number two, look, Ernie Borkman is doing it. Doug, is it Ernie Borkman? Or
Bjorkman, I think.
Bjorkman is doing it. Number three, Iggy's tweet to that one chick who was in Halloween 3. Quote, yeah, I get a message from her every Halloween, end quote. Later, it turned out that he actually messages her every year. And she simply responds to his message. Is that really someone you have to lie about knowing personally? Stacey effing Nelkin? Halloween 3 is the worst one. It's literally the only Halloween movie that doesn't even have Michael Myers in it. Doug, thanks. That's Matt who bulls at Hank's. Suck it, plow cuck. And Doug, look, he included a picture. It looks like it's Kirk Gibson after he hit the home run on Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, yeah. Why would he send that?
Well, Timmy, this is a tough one because I will say Matt who bulls at Hank's brought it strong. But it had never been done before. Cucky put together a musical presentation on tape I'm going Cucky.
Wow.
Tough call.
Yeah, they were both good. It is a tough
stormy competitor,
call.
You know.
A couple of stormy combatants is what they are.
We're in an industry with tough competitors.
Yeah. I'll go for the submission by Cucky as well.
Wow.
I would have gone with Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
I think I would have too, although Cucky is a genius.
No, you wouldn't. We already covered this yesterday. You say that after the fact, but if it were up to you to make the deciding vote, you would have gone with your boy Cucky. True?
Maybe, Matt brought it. He definitely deserved to be in the running for sure.
Well, apparently we lost a $100 gift certificate anyway.
So Cucky, even though he pleaded via song for Matt, who bowls at Hanks to win.
Because he told me what to do. I don't like to be told what to do.
He has won the email of the month, and Matt, who bowls at Hanks, is now the Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs curse of emailers. He has big leads, and he blows them.
Well, he didn't submit anything there for a couple days, so I question his want to, his guile, and his moxie.
Nice. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, sorry, this is a Cucky month, Jack. And now Misty Plops has taken a lead in November, coming off a really disappointing October, and you got to feel like Plops is going to own November. I feel like that's
going
to be...
Yeah, but let's be very clear about this. So we just had two contests, and we have no prizes for either one.
I can't find my... the email of the day wins a suspension special from Hot Shots. We'll be there a week from tomorrow.
And the big prize just isn't there.
Maybe. All right, we got to go, though. But Frank's up next. It's a whole thing. We want to make sure I thank Major Peters, Doug, one of our sponsors. If you're looking for a Bloody Mary mix, Major Peters, step up to the bold flavor of the official Bloody Mary the morning after. Major Peters, made right here in St. Louis using over 90% real tomato juice. Major Peters Bloody Mary mix is bloody worth asking for. Major Peters Bloody Mary mix, St. Louis, Missouri. And then tomorrow, Kelly Chase will be with us. Blues and Flyers. And he's brought to you by Petromart. Kelly Chase joins us weekly on Thursday mornings, fueled by Petromart. Start all your pregame festivities at Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues and a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline. Not only can you fill up on gas when you stop at one of Petromart's stores, you can fill up your stomach too. They offer a wide selection of food, drink, and other goodies to satisfy you and your family. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly. Time for us to shut it down. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McCurtain. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS.